It is Monday morning. You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time now to check in with our friend, Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning, Dr. Weiss?
Well, I'm actually doing okay. Your listeners will probably wonder about all this fancy technology, but I'm actually in my car, hands-free. I'm not holding anything, talking to you as I head to the dentist for just a normal kind of exam. So it kind of happens that way. They could only get me in at 8 o'clock, so such is life. But I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm glad they're not already, like, cleaning or drilling. That would make for an interesting interview, though. I suppose we could try that.
Well, actually, yeah, I'm actually, you know, doing okay in the car here, and I've got a couple of things on the agenda here to chat a bit about, and we'll see how everything goes. But it's there's some new things that are going on here, and one thing is in Washington D.C., the capital of good old Archie Bunker, U.S. of A. your older listeners will appreciate that one. They have passed euthanasia, or physician-assisted suicide, in Washington, D.C. The council has passed that, and they're waiting for, they have one more vote to do, and they're anticipating that the vote will pass, and that vote will come on November the 15th. So people kind of need to be tuned in to the fact that this whole thing about physician-assisted suicide, which for your listeners, they have to understand this is where a doctor has to know if you're, quote-unquote, 6 months to live or less, then the doctor writes you a prescription for some what's basically called a death cocktail. You go to the drugstore, you pick it up, you go home, and then you kill yourself. This is, of course, what's going on now. That would add up to 5 states and then D.C. And then, of course, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, Colorado and let's see. They're going to be voting on this in a few other states. So that's something to be tuned into, especially when you're dealing with issues of life as you do on His Time and family and certainly the LCMS Life Committee and so forth, and Lutheran for Life, et cetera. So that's something. The other thing that has occurred before we maybe have a chance to discuss some of this is the, now this is something that deals with elective abortions. Elective abortions in the United States, even though they're down per thousand, in one sense, they're up by 9%. They've jumped from 35 to 43%, that's 8% in terms of elective abortion. But here's the kicker on this one, Andy. And they can't give a percent, but it looks like about of the increase in 8% of elective abortions, about half of those, 4% now, are requesting, now here you go, that the elective abortion occur at home with their quote-unquote partner. Now, this is a new twist to the elective abortion scenario. Rather than going to a Planned Parenthood clinic, where, of course, that's their main source of income, and what they do is to now say, as long as we can do it at home with our partner and we can have somebody that could come from Planned Parenthood, and apparently they're willing to do this, we would like to do this at home. So, I mean, that's something I'm just not familiar with, and the first time I heard about it and read about it on the news. That basically has increased, obviously, in terms of people, quote-unquote, they say they feel more comfortable. Oh, boy. So that's, right.
I'm sure there are a number of reasons for that. One that, perhaps even just commuting to a place such as Planned Parenthood, they there are many people who know what such an organization does. And so there are people, quite often, people who are standing out there with good intentions, offering support to women who are going to Planned Parenthood. And so in an attempt to try to avoid conversations with others about what they're doing, I could see this, wanting to have this procedure, this abortion done at home rather than encountering anyone because of fear of conversation, being confronted by anyone on their way to Planned Parenthood.
Well, that's precisely what some of the comments that I read, you know, people on some of these news sites that I look at routinely, they're commenting, well, this is an issue of avoidance. That is, the pro-life people, this is an issue where they don't want to cross the picket line, if in fact there is one. They don't want to deal with the sidewalk counselors that are out there, et cetera, et cetera. So now this is starting to find its way into the news, although it's not being, I haven't seen it in the newspaper. I'm getting these things off the various websites that I routinely look at. So that one has to be kind of tuned into that. So that kind of that's the second thing. The last thing is, as you well know, I mentioned I was at a conference, a Missouri District Conference on Christian life in troubled times, living a Christian life in troubled times, and it primarily took off on the whole issue of homosexuality, same-sex marriages, and so forth. They had attorneys and a few people that chatted a bit about this, and then I responded to a paper, and Professor David Adams from the seminary, he responded. One of the things that came out of this conference, certainly with the elections popping up tomorrow, is this whole issue that it seems that at least the fellows that I talked to from the Missouri District, and I saw quite a few of my students there that I had in the past, and listened to other pastors that are out in the field, they truly believe that beyond the same-sex marriage, and it's already occurred with transgender marriages, that eventually what will happen legally, probably within a generation, maybe two generations, that's approximately 40 years, that you will have polygamy and polyamory, which is group marriages, and then you'll have what's called thruples. You'll have maybe two men marrying one woman or two women marrying one man. Now, so for your listeners that had just dropped their cup of coffee in their lap hearing this, and this even was agreeable by an attorney who works in this area. So I think that as quote-unquote scary as this seems to be, the bottom conclusion was we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And certainly you do this with his time and also when you're discussing family issues, is to be more proactive. And it's at least to inform people like you and I do and other people on KFUO. And so that they can really get into the Bible and not worry about, well, what do I say? Well, the biggest thing to say is to talk about Jesus and what you know, how Jesus, his death and resurrection, continues to inform your life and structure your life so that one doesn't have to immediately quote 50 Bible passages, although that would be nice, but it's basically, let me just tell you about what Jesus means to me, back to good old Hermann Gockel's book. So those are some things that have been popping up in the news and what we discussed at the conference. People, I think, need to know, well, what goes on at these district conferences. And so it is a big concern that we pastors get this out to the lay people and get them informed and help structure their thinking.
Yes, tomorrow, I know many have done some early voting, but tomorrow is election day here in the United States, so many people will be heading to the polls. How might we pray as we prepare for this day?
Well, I believe we have to pray that, and I would encourage people to pray certainly tomorrow morning, and I would encourage them to have a prayer when they're in the booth, that God would give them the structure of their conscience to vote. Now, their conscience should know nothing but the gospel, that God continues to bring peace regardless of who is elected, that he brings peace to this country that surpasses all understanding, and that according to God's will and way, lead me in my vote, to vote for whomever I want to vote for, O Lord, so that these things, the Christian witness that I give, even occurs in the booth, so that whomever you vote for, this is something that is according to your conscience, that is knows nothing but the gospel, rather than going in there and say, well, I really don't want to vote for this person, but I'm going to anyway. To let your conscience be your guide is not a good thing to do as a Christian. Certainly then we do what it wants to keep people happy, so that whatever you do and say, it's not to please you or people around you, but it is to please the Lord, in terms of whatever you say and do in your prayer booth, is to glorify Him in your actions and your vote. So that when you leave that voting booth, it is something that you believe in your heart through prayer that this is the way I wanted to have my vote cast.
There are, I think, a lot of issues. I think we've probably this election season, this campaign season, we've spent a lot of time focusing on the two major party presidential candidates.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are many other issues on the ballot, many other candidates on the ballot this time around that perhaps we haven't given as much consideration to because our attention has really been focused on the presidential election.
Yes, and I think, you know, I always, my prayer is basically give me the wisdom of Solomon and the strength of David to do thy will. And in that context, when I leave the voting booth, I don't leave with a twisted mind and saying, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done this. But and it may be, you know, the biggest thing from my viewpoint in terms of praying is to take your time. There's no rush when you go into the voting booth and to vote, but if you want to take 5 or 10 minutes and pray and look at everybody that's down there and all of the things that you've learned about the various candidates, then you go ahead and pray that thy will be done. But it's a difficult thing, I think, for some people to know. But I do believe God's word, it doesn't return empty. And whatever and however you pray when you're in that voting booth, to give, you know, you pray, God, give me the wisdom to vote according to my conscience that should know nothing but the gospel. It does happen. His words do not return empty. So these are things that are most important is to pray. While you're in, before you get to the booth, and pray while you're in the booth, that thy will be done. And then we pray after that, and I had this in the church prayer, and we certainly will do it next, that we pray for peace in this country, because with this particular election, and it's been kind of beyond interesting, that we continue to pray for peace in this country, that God's will be done, and that people understand that He is the one that brings peace, comfort, and hope. Through His word and through His sacrament, and that the government has been set up for His purposes. You know, this is Romans 13, which people perhaps could read before they go to the booth to help structure their thinking in these areas. So those are just some final thoughts that I have on this whole issue of voting. That's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting day. Now, you know, getting here so early, I'm going to have to find time in the afternoon to make that to the polling place, but it should work just fine. Well, thanks so much for sharing with us. Blessings on your appointment. Glad that they've held off on the cleaning until we finished up our conversation today.
Oh, that's okay. I'm actually not inside yet. I'm just kind of walking around, so it's all good. And God be with you and your listeners, and look forward to next Monday, and we'll see what happens then.
Thanks, Bob. Have a great week.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll study the daily New Testament reading, the daily lectionary, with Pastor Barry Long of Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Peoria, Illinois. We'll take a look at Matthew chapter 24 today, verses 1 through 28. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.